that we're going to lead off with. This message, we've already started to walk in when we became aware of the fact that we don't have what it takes to come before God and say, "You need to let me into heaven."
Right?
We know, everyone that's a born-again Christian knows that we can't work our way into heaven. We need a Savior. And we know that we came to a realization, an awareness that God so loved the world that He gave His Son to die for us. A death that we should die, but He died instead. And we believe in that. And we were aware enough of our own self that we understood that we needed God and God alone in order to be with God forever and ever. And so that's a good thing. And what I want to read here in Hebrews chapter 2 says this, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You know, we come to Christ, we see our need, we accept Him as our Savior, we want to be people inside of our hearts, we want to be people that worship Him with a whole heart, with everything that's within us. We want to act the way that would be pleasing to Him. We want to do those things and reach out to people and be joyful and share the good news of the gospel. We have all of these things that we want to do. He wants us to do those things. He empowers us to do those things. And still, without getting too on ourselves, we need to realize that we let things slip in our lives. Right? There's so much that comes at us from so many different angles and sources that we tend to forget who we are in Christ. We think of ourselves like we used to before we came to Christ. We act and react in some of the same ways. Sometimes we even make some good headway in changing some things in our life, and we find ourselves slipping back into some old patterns of thought, slipping into some old patterns of reacting or speaking, and it creeps up on us. We slip into it. We don't usually jump back into an old way of thinking or acting. We slip into it. It takes a little bit of time because it happens in a little bits of gradualism that pull us in a direction that's away from the Lord. You know how sometimes you feel a discipline come into your life about I'm going to pray every morning when I get up. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray before the Lord. And then things come up and I can't do that today. I'll catch up with you later. You know? And sometimes you do, but lots of times you don't. I know that happens to me. I have all the good intentions, but I find myself slipping in areas of my life, the way I react to things, what I think about myself sometimes. Because I want to start this off saying this. Though we're not worthy of Him because of who we are as human beings, and we have a fallen nature, we're not worthy of Him, but He sees worth in us. He provides and gives us what we need to be worthy in His sight. Now, isn't that a great thing? We don't really deserve heaven. Even after we come to Christ, we don't really deserve it, do we? We don't deserve to be with the Lord. And yet He so loves us that He's provided a way for that to happen through Jesus Christ. And what's really great, I think, is that we get an opportunity now to experience some of that on this side of life before we die and go to be with Him. Can you experience, one of our songs, Here We Are Standing in Your Presence? Now, is that just a word? In other words, just words? Is that just a hope that that can happen? Or when we sing those words, do we know that Jesus is saying, yes, you are. You are in my presence, and you can enjoy my presence right now. There's a big difference when you're worshiping and you actually believe what you're saying than if you're not. Isn't that right?
Yes.
One of the other scriptures I'm going to get to talks about that very thing, about how we really need to mix what we know, what we've been taught, with faith. We have to believe what we read. We have to believe what we're saying. We have to believe that what the Word says about God is really true. Not just a head knowledge, but we believe it. And that happens through experiences and through the things that we suffer and through the joyous times. And we thank God for these different things. And it pulls us in, into where we need to be. So it says here in... I'm on a little bit of a high note. Now we're going to drop to a little bit of a low note. Can you handle that? There's highs and lows in life. God speaks really positive things to us, encourages us, wants to strengthen us through His Spirit. And yet there's other times where He wants to say, hey, look, step up. Get that behind you. Move on ahead. Right? Because He sure wants that from us. He doesn't want us only to be, how many times have I said this? He doesn't want us only to be just believers in Him and thankful that we're making it by the skin of our teeth. Little burnt smell, there's more to what He has in store for us as His people. And that takes, I think Reggie was one that said this, that takes some actual conscious decision on our part to step into that place. Because God wants a loving response back. God so loved us. He looks for that, and He acted on that. And so he looks for loving response back, doesn't He? And so those are our choices in the whole thing. Okay, so I'm trying to decide whether I want to go to one place or another here first. Here's another thing. Hebrews 4, verse 1 says this, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now here we have everything that's been given to us. We have all things pertaining to life and godliness. All of this stuff is for us, for the taking, and we can let it slip. You can let your mind could be starting to drift even right now, and not hearing the voice of God and what He wants to say to you right now. And so, so that we don't slip, so that, as it says here, that we don't come short of it. It takes some work. It takes spiritual work. It takes spiritual strength. And I know that when I start to feel like,
things are, let's not get too intense,
that I need to do something about that. And I'm going to be talking about rest next, which sounds like I'm going to be contradicting myself, but I'm not. There needs to be something where there is a fight in us for the things of God, for the things that are going to allow us to continue to move on in Christ. Mm-hmm. And we get battled all the time. Always, the enemy will use anything that he can, even where we have failed in an area. This happens to me all the time. What happened in life? You preach a message, and I go home, and that very day, or the next day, or through that week, I'm not doing so well on the very thing that I was preaching on. And you can come in here and allow the lack, the slippage, to get you down. But talking about not coming up short or slipping shouldn't be something that brings us down. What we need to do as human beings is to, in Christ, say, I'm going to learn from this experience. I'm not going to allow the enemy to bring me to a lower place than where I just got myself. How important is that? Because the enemy really loves to bring shame on you, loves to bring just that judgmental, I'm not worthy of anything. Look at, I can't do anything. I'm not worthy. And yet, God through His Word tells us we have plenty of worth. He died for us. Mm-hmm. He died for us. Mm-hmm. We have worth. Mm-hmm. There's something, and I think Glenn mentioned it in the message last week. He has plans for us. And I hope that you're not just saying, shaking your head or saying yes, and just have some kind of vague idea what that might be. I think that the Lord has some very specific things that He wants you and me to know about. Specific. What is out ahead? And you know where you're going to find that? Right in here. Right in here. It says the things that are coming about in this world. And in saying that, God is going to provide for the light to shine in the dark in those conditions that are coming on this earth through you and me. There are specific things that are going to happen. You need, and I need, to make sure we know what they are. And therefore, know how to pray to be ready for those things that are coming up ahead. And we can hear this. I think the Lord keeps saying it to me. He keeps saying it to you through me. Because we haven't arrived yet. We think we've heard enough sometimes about certain things, and we haven't. We don't know enough about God. We haven't taken as close a look at our Lord and Savior the way we need to. Let alone look at ourselves and take a closer look at ourselves and examine ourselves, as you're going to see here, because we should be doing that. We should be examining things a little more closely than what we have been. Now, that's not a condemnation. This is something I think the Lord is saying to encourage us to do that very thing. All right, come on, get moving here. All right, you're starting to slide. I know you want to go in the right direction, but you're starting to slip here a little bit. Gird yourself up. There's more to do. And I need people that are going to volunteer freely in the day of my power. And I need you. I want you to be those people. I have plans for you. And you know what's going on in the back of your mind? Oh, I'm too old for you to use me, God. Oh, I don't have the skills that I need. I don't really, I'm timid, I'm shy. I don't like doing this. I need my alone time. I need this, I need that. And we shut off. And we don't even realize, we're not even self-aware enough to know that we're closing ourselves off from the very voice of God to lead us to do the things that He wants us to do. That's kind of a shame, isn't it? But God tells us this not to whip us on our behinds, as much as He's saying that, because He wants to encourage us. Okay, alright, so you messed up here. But you know what? If you reach into me, you're going to have everything you need to take the next step. Because it's going to be grand, and it's going to be glorious, what is out there for us. It might not look that way in the eyes of the world. We might not be treated too well. We don't know what's coming up. Well, we do know some things that are coming up because it's in the Word of God. Some of it might not seem so glorious to us, but in the eyes of God, it's going to be a very glorious thing. And there will be a reward that comes our way because we're willing to step into that place. Oh, it's important.
Okay. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13.
Now Paul even says to the people that were going to the Corinthian church, he even says this to them, which is, I've always found it interesting. But it shows us what we have to do on a fairly consistent basis. It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. It says this, examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. What does that mean? Tell me.
Make sure you're really where you're supposed to be.
Where you're supposed to be, okay.
Make sure it's real and genuine.
That this is a real, you know, you're doing this because it's a real thing. You know Jesus, you want to serve Jesus, and that's your motivation. Anything else?
You're exercising faith in new things that are happening to you daily.
Yeah, that you're stepping out. You're stepping out in faith. All right? Exactly. Whether you're in the faith, are you moving in faith? Am I moving in faith? You know, lots of times I am, but not all the time. I can. You know what I get caught up in? Myself. I get caught up in all the minutia of this world, and so do you. Now you go, well, come on. We're doing the best we can. I doubt that. I doubt it for myself, so I'll just throw that out to you guys. The song, Good Good Father, I think it's one of the very last verses in there. Talks about, I can't remember the wording now, but about going deeper in Him.
Deeper still.
Is that what it is? Deeper still? You know, great words, great concepts. If it really is just an idea and not something that we truly pursue, well, how do we go deeper into Him? You know?
Okay. So we have to examine ourselves. Now, what this is, we're taking a closer look. We have to take a closer look at ourselves. Now, you might say, well, that you don't want to get too introspective. You know, you don't want to get too much so. But, you know, the Lord wants us to examine ourselves and make sure that we're walking where we need to walk, that we're considering our ways, that we're not just letting days and days and days go by and not realize what attitudes are creeping in, you know, lots of times, I think I was saying something to somebody about this earlier, things happen in our lives and it's irritating, or you have a bad day at work and things didn't go your way, and you come home and who ends up getting the brunt of how you're feeling? It's usually the people you love, because you're going home to wife, husband, family, right? And so those kinds of things can happen, and day after day can go by. Well, that's not church. That's not something spiritual. This is just what happens in life. But no, it is what's important, because God wants us to realize what we're doing, how we're affecting other people. Isn't that part of how we have to have our lives changed?
Yes.
Is the way we relate with other people.
Yes.
And forgiveness, and you know, all kinds of things. And God puts us, God allows situations to happen so that these attitudes toward other people and our attitude toward Him, when things aren't going well, you know, lots of times we want to say, God, why are you doing this to me? Why is this thing happening? You know, and those things come along and it proves, it tests. God examines the way we react, doesn't He?
Yeah. He might not be doing it to us. He might be doing it for us.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. Because He's a good, good Father, He's not doing this to bring us down. The chastening that He brings, the testing that He allows to come, is for our good. That's what it says later on in Hebrews. I'm gonna jump back to that since you mentioned it.
Malcolm, you said to examine ourselves. A lot of times we don't like what we find.
That's right.
No.
Right. And this is where we have to really be careful, because, like I was just saying just a little bit ago, the enemy wants that realization, oh gosh, I'm not so wonderful and perfect like I want to think I am, to find out that there are things that need to get worked on. You know, and the enemy wants to take opportunity to make you or me feel bad and become discouraged and just say, well, I'm nobody here. And bring us to a place of discouragement so that we don't grow, that we don't get up past that, because that's what He's going to do. He's going to show us what we're really like. Horror of horrors. He shows us what we're really like. And our response is, we feel shame, or we feel guilt, or we feel depressed. Gee whiz, I don't measure up.
I feel that way. I don't know about you, but I go through things, and you know, I think I bring a message. You know, I feel intense feelings of the Spirit of God, and then that next week I feel weak. I feel, you know, I don't do what I even preached about, and you know, you can get really down on yourself. Who am I to be up here preaching? I feel that all the time. Why should I be the one, God, to be preaching here? And you probably think that too. No.
Well, going back to what Elaine said, you can also stop examining yourself because you don't. I mean, you can do it and not like what you see, and then you might say, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Examine myself and test myself.
Yeah.
I'm just going to move on.
Yeah. So we're going to get to this really important thing. Because if we're going to examine ourselves, we need to be able to do this in the rest of Christ. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, right at the end. You know, in Hebrews, it talks about rest that I read, and which is the segue right into this. And it says here in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This is what's good about learning more of the Lord that we serve. Boy, I'll tell you, the more I've seen God and His mercy and His love, His everlasting arms always out there for me, when I've stumbled and fallen badly and bloodied my nose, He's still there. And I get to appreciate and love Him more every time that happens. And it's confirming day after day, week after week, month after month. And you know, the more we learn by reading, we learn by praying to Him and sensing His presence and worshiping Him, we really get to know the Lord, little bits by little bits, you know. And when we learn of Him, this is what He says specifically, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. Humbleness, meekness. Right? That's one big thing you learn about Christ. He didn't let things throw Him out the window. He rested and trusted in the Father. Boy, I'm working on that so hard, to just rest and trust in God. Right? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we're honest, if we're really honest, brutally honest, we don't really believe that all the time. We don't believe that His burden is easy, is light, His yoke is easy. This is tough walking with God. I've got to stop doing this and start doing that, and you know, that's how a lot of people, even young Christians, that's their approach to what it is to walk with God. I've got to give up this and I've got to give up that. Isn't that right?
Now, that's conditional. That's a conditional statement there. Learn from me comes first.
Yes, it does.
That's the first part. If you learn from him, then everything else is easy and his burden is light.
Yes.
If you don't learn from him, then guess what?
Yeah.
It doesn't work that
doesn't,
way.
It doesn't work too well.
It's a conditional statement.
It is. Amen. You know, I was going to go to something, but I'm not going to do that right now. You know, there's this rest, like it says in Hebrews, for the people of God. I wish I was there. You know, totally at rest. And yet we're moving in that direction, and that's a good thing. The scripture later in Hebrews says, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Now, the Sabbath was the seventh day. And God rested after all his creative works, right? It says. I was thinking about how, I got thinking about the creation and God creating, and after each day of creation, God says, and God looked and said, "It is good." Right? He thought every day about what he had just did. He thought every day. He examined his work. There remains a Sabbath rest, you know, for the people of God. And you know what is going to help us in the whole process is, you know what? If we actually took the time to contemplate, to consider what happened today. At the end of this day, what happened today? Did I treat Kathy the way I needed to? Did I miss something somewhere? God help me, show me. Did I have a good heart's attitude today, Lord? Where was I missing at any place? And think about the day. And say, how could I be a better person in your spirit? Every day. Don't you think we should do that?
Yes.
I mean, that's what the Lord was telling me. Malcolm, you've slipped. You're slipping here a little bit. And one thing leads to another thing, doesn't it? You slip in one area, and usually you find yourself not doing other things that you should be doing after a while. So this is important for us to realize that, you know, Lord, I want to look over this day, every day. Please help me. Help me, God, to be more consistent, that I don't just do this for a week. But that I really help renew my mind that I could do this. And I'm going to leave you with this one scripture in Romans chapter 12. Oops. Romans chapter 12. It says this, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. As much as you and I think that we're not conformed to this world, there's still those greedy, little, selfish, angry, fill in whatever words you want to put in there, tentacles still have us somewhere in our being. Jealous, I don't know what it is, but you go any place, you know, you probably, if you're aware enough of yourself, if you've taken a closer look at yourself already, you know some areas that
you need God to help you work on in your life, right? You already know that because we're becoming more and more self-aware in that sense, in Christ. And so he says here, don't be conformed to this world. And I hope that we all realize that we can be and that we are. Lots of times, because we let some things slip, things happen in life, the things of this life catch us up, and our reactions get bad, and that leads to something else, and we stay away from the Word, we don't cry out to God as quickly as we need to, and it just starts the bad thing happen. And then he goes on to say, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You and I have to look at things differently. This is just the way I am. Stop. No. That's how I used to be. I don't want to continue in this. And when I do fall in that area, I'm going to pick myself back up. Lord, I will confess to you. I know you will forgive me. And I am going to press on. I'm going to change. I'm going to not think the way I used to think. Isn't that what that's saying here? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We get transformed because we connect with what God says about us, what God's expectations are, what His plans are for us, and we connect with those things. But if we don't know what they are, or if we don't want to connect, we won't. And by doing this, it says, that you might prove, which is examine. Let's see what else it says there about it. Approve after trial, it says in mine. We go through something, we examine it, we test it. Scientists do that, don't they? They're examining the way liquid is bubbling at that particular. They're examining. They're looking at it with more intensity. They're taking a closer look, right? And analyzing and comparing and understanding what's going on. That's what we should be doing. What's going on? That we might prove what is good and acceptable and perfect and the perfect will of God. That's where our attention should be, shouldn't it? And God's amazing. God has a way for us to do the things that we have to do in this life and still do those things. Lots of times he uses the things of this life as a teaching method. As a method of us being able to examine ourselves. Right? Don't we learn from the things that we go through? Or sometimes we don't. We're not that self-aware. We're not aware of what God's doing. We're not aware of the crusty attitude that we have towards somebody. We're not even cognizant of it. We don't even know that we're acting a certain way sometimes towards somebody else. And somebody comes up and says something and you go, I'm talking like that? No, you're full of it. Or you go, really? That's how you saw it? And then you gotta talk to yourself and you gotta talk to God. I didn't get a chance to tell Kathy. I got something on my phone last night at 2:00 in the morning. And it was from a high school friend of mine. And he was talking about this other college friend who had written something I forget what it wasn't Twitter, but it was, had written something someplace where people could see it, and they were complaining about something I did back in college. He said, I just thought you should know. So, you know, we can be very unaware of how we come across to other people, the things that we say, or maybe it's an action, maybe it's rolling our eyes with something somebody said or done, right? And that person sees it, or they get told about it, and there we are. We're thinking we're just fine, upstanding, good Christians, and there's some work that needs to be done instead, right? So I hope that God can touch us where He needs to, that we at least can say to Him today, God, I want to take a closer look at You so I really know and really can receive from You. And I want to take a closer look at myself. And I want to live in that Sabbath rest. I want to be able every day, Lord, please help me, to say, hopefully, it is good. But if not, not to get discouraged, but to say, okay, God, show me the way out of that. Help me to, like from the first song that we sang, help me to break that chain that I didn't even know was around me. But lots of times we do know the chains that are around us. But God is a chain breaker. And He does want us free. And He does want us to live life and live it more abundantly. That's the kind of God He is. So I hope we pay closer attention to who He is and closer attention to who we are. In Jesus' name, be with us, Lord, in this, and that it would be consistent, that it would be to Your glory. This isn't a self-improvement thing, Lord. We do this because You deserve us to be all that You want us to be. We want to serve You, Lord. We give You our heart afresh, anew, more deeply. Right now, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.